All right, hello Saints. Today I'm going to bring five reasons why I'm not a Lutheran. And I actually grew up in the Lutheran church. I went to a Lutheran elementary school, a Lutheran high school. I was indoctrinated into the faith. I saw it firsthand, the compromise in the Lutheran church. And I just did a brief study on Martin Luther and the Lutheran church. And I'm just going to bring some of the things that I found. And these are definitely red flags. If you're looking, testing churches to the Word of God, Lutheranism is not anywhere close to a biblical ecclesia of God. So let's go over these points here. So Lutheranism was brought about by Martin Luther in the early 1500s after his excommunication from the Catholic Church over minor disagreements on liturgical practices like indulgences. There are three main denominations of Lutheranism practiced today. ELCA, which is the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. And these are all in America. I'm sure there's a few in Europe and whatnot. The LMS, Lutheran Missouri Synod. And Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. So why am I not a Lutheran? Well, the first point, the founder Martin Luther is a wicked and violent man, and the denomination holds to his name. So these are going to be some quotes from Martin Luther, and they're pretty abominable. But I just have to bring to light how wicked this man is. So here's a quote about from some of his writings about the Jewish people. So he wrote, "If I had to baptize a Jew, I would take him to the bridge of the Elbe, hang a stone around his neck, and push him over with the words, 'I baptize thee in the name of Abraham.'" And here's some of his writings about the peasants. He was vehemently against the peasant uprising. Back in his lifetime, the peasants really rose up. They wanted a more fair treatment under the rule of the time. And he was vehemently against this. He saw them as evil, saw them as devils. And I believe some of these quotes kind of sum that up pretty well. "To kill a peasant is not murder. It is helping to extinguish the conflagration. Let there be no half measures. Crush them, cut their throats, transfix them, leave no stone unturned. To kill a peasant is to destroy a mad dog. If they say that I am very hard and merciless, mercy be damned. Let whoever can stab, strangle, and kill them like mad dogs." Another quote from him about sinning. He was very into the idea that we can sin 1,000 times a day and we're still covered by Jesus' blood. So I'll read some of his quotes here. "Be a sinner and let your sins be strong, but let your trust in Christ be stronger and rejoice in Christ, who is the victor over sin, death, and the world. We will commit sins while we are here, for this life is not a place where justice resides. No sin can separate us from him, even if we were to kill or commit adultery thousands of times each day." So, and then the verse I wanted to call out, because they name themselves after this wicked man, 1 Corinthians 3:3-7, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' and are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." So the next point I have of why I'm not a Lutheran is their unbiblical, faith alone, grace alone gospel, and they hold to the five solas. The first one being sola scriptura, all doctrine must come from scripture, which is actually a true statement, which I agree with. All doctrine and instruction comes from the word of God, and that's 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And Matthew 4:4, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" So that's one of the good points, sola scriptura, only scripture or doctrine. But the next one, it kind of starts going downhill. Sola gratia, saved only by grace. And simultaneously the Savior. So grace alone denotes a total reliance on grace, bringing in a universalist ideal contrary to scripture. Even grace requires faith, and faith without works is dead. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. James 2:20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So the next one is justification by faith alone. And this is kind of a big one because Luther actually wanted to remove James from the Bible. He wanted to remove a lot of different books from the Bible. And he claims that faith requires no work. And he actually called that book an epistle of straw. So we see that man is justified by his works of a saving faith. I mean, we need Jesus' righteousness, but we also need to walk worthy of a saving faith and holiness and obedience. It's the fruit that we're born from above. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. James 2:24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That's kind of a dagger. And that's why Luther really wanted James out of the scriptures. But the next one being solus Christus, through Christ alone. And my brother Tupos has a great plethora of articles on his website, don'tperish.com, but one of those is all of the if statements that Paul had wrote. And this sola highlights the lack of duty man has to obey God, which appears nowhere in scripture. On the contrary, the word points to walking worthy, lest we fail of the grace of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. So we have to walk worthy of the vocation that we're called for. And the last sola here is soli Deo Gloria, and that's glory to God alone. God wants none to perish, yet this sola is often twisted into a kind of Calvinist pretzel. It kind of reinforces the fact that the Calvinist idea that only those who are handpicked by God will enter in. And 2 Peter 3:9, God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, an unbiblical gospel, the five solas, which only one of them sounds close to correct. And number three, water baptism forgives sins. And the baptism of infants. So that's another thing that Martin Luther held to was baptism forgives sins, baptism of infants. It's a carryover from the Catholic Church. Martin Luther was closely tied to the Catholic Church, a lot closer than a lot of people think. And so what does the scripture say about this? Luke 23, 39 to 43. This is the thief on the cross, and he was never water baptized. But the Lord still said, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's kind of a tough one for him to explain. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And another one, Acts 8:36 to 37, and this kind of destroys infant baptism. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest all with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So Peter gives the if statement, if thou believest with all thine heart. Babies can't believe with all thine heart. So baptism is a mark of obedience to Christ, going down in the water, being buried with him, rising again. Babies can't understand any of that, so that it completely destroys that. And number four, buildings and man-made holidays are a standard in Lutheranism. I saw it firsthand. They prescribe to all of the Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, all of the Catholic man-made traditions. It's just a carryover. And what does the scripture say about this? Mark 7:6-8. He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside in the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And Acts 7:48-50. And this is kind of a knock against the building-centered idea, the temple idea of going to church as a building. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what place is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? And finally, number five, and I've seen an eyewitness of this, it's very worldly. The Lutheran Church is very worldly. Willful sin abounds in it. No one's called out for their sin. The pastors are light on sin. They need to keep building people in the building. And they uphold very few of the Lord's standard. You never see head-covered women. It's all feminized, paganized with the Roman Catholic holidays. And it's just a mess, especially in the high schools, the schools. They're very compromised with the world. I played on the football team at a Lutheran high school. That can tell you a lot about the Lutheran faith. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So those were kind of my points on five reasons why I'm not a Lutheran. I could find a ton more, just go through every single point, but if you're not convinced that Lutheranism is off base at this point, I don't know how I could help you any further. So that was my study on that.
Awesome, brother. Great job. I love how you went right to five. Yeah, I'm sure you could find a ton more. And I love the scriptures and the bullet points you did on it. That was excellent. Brothers, I got some thoughts, but brothers, what say you about five reasons he's not a Lutheran? And I'm glad you're not a Lutheran, brother.
Amen. Amen. Brother Pergos, you want to go first with your thoughts?
I saw them too from the inside briefly, and some things just, it's so close to Roman Catholicism in so many ways, except minus the works and even the pretend Pharisaical attitude that the Roman Catholics have, that you really can't tell the difference, in my opinion.
Between Lutheranism and Roman Catholicism?
It's all this dead liturgy.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially the ELCA. But yeah, the other ones as well. Yeah.
Yeah. You covered it very well. Maybe just a couple of historical notes on that. Number one, a lot of people don't know this. Martin Luther kind of got famous, and the world, the entire Protestant religion lifts him up as this bold reformer who nailed 95 theses to the door of a church. Okay, correction here. He wrote it in Latin, He didn't even write it in the common tongue. So outside of the priests, who were the only people who were able to even read Latin, nobody actually knew what his problem was. And another point, he never even wanted to separate from the Roman Catholic Church. He just wanted to reform some things in it. So he's basically a glorified Roman Catholic who just kept on preaching man-made religion and heresy.
Yeah, amen. Amen. You could have come up with a bunch of other thoughts. As you know, you were part of it for much of your life till you, praise God, came out of it. I liked how you said about the baby baptism. Now, a lot of people don't think about that when they think of about a defense for baby baptism, is when the eunuch said, "Hey, can I be baptized?" And he said, "If you believe with your whole heart, of course." I thought that was a great point. Babies don't believe with their whole heart. They're still in diapers. How can they believe? They don't even know what's going on around them for the most part. So that was a great point. And yeah, you wrote about how Luther hated the Jews. I'm always amazed how we can tell Lutherans that Luther hated Jews and wanted to kill them. And almost all the Lutherans go, "Yeah, we knew that." And it doesn't even bother them. And some of them will say, they lie and say, "Well, he repented later." No, he didn't. He never repented. He never repented of any of these heresies. At least in formal writings. He might have repented in his heart right before his death. That I don't know. That's between him and God. But not his writings and stuff. He did not repent. And yeah, he was a wicked, wicked man. As you guys well said, he still was a Roman Catholic in many ways. And the fact that the Lutherans named themselves after him and lift up that man-made religious system is a condemnation against them. So, well done, Brother Akuo, to give people 5 bullet points. And here's what we always talk about. If someone is seeking truth and those 5 points don't alert them to test that faith and run from it, do you think 20 points would help them?
No.
What are they going to do, brother? They're just, if they ignore the 5, won't they ignore the next 15?
Oh, yeah. They need ears to hear.
Yeah. They need ears to hear and eyes to see. And so, yeah. Awesome. Good job, brother. Anything else on the Lutheran faith? Sister Amin, my wife, was a Lutheran ELCA for most of her life, not by her own choice. She was raised in it. But in her conscience, she always knew something was wrong with it. And when she heard the gospel, it all made sense, the biblical gospel. And we've proven over the years how wicked the Lutheran faith is. I do need to say one thing. In Germany, they're so wicked, they still have cages on the side of some of their big cathedrals that they used to hoist men, you and I, they would hoist you and I up, put us in cages, because we would be heretics against the Lutheran faith. And they would let you starve to death in cages so everybody could see what happens to heretics. Heretics, according to them. Talk about wicked people. Does that sound like something Jesus would do? Oh, I think I lost. Are you still there, Brother Cool?
I am, yep.
Yeah, can you hear Brother Zelos?
He's pretty quiet.
Yeah, he sounds like he's far away. Okay, with this audio, we're going to leave it right there. Thanks a lot, Brother Cool. Good job. Well done.